Now, next verse, he will talk about little more about why he is unknown, why we don't know God, and how we can know him. We'll address that in verse number 26. Vedaham samatitani.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna. Bhavishyani cha bhutani. Maam tu vedana kashchana. Vedaham samatitani. Vartamanani charjuna. Bhavishyani cha bhutani. Maam tu vedana kashchana. So Veda here does not mean the Vedas as the book, as the scriptures. But here Veda is used as a verb, not as a noun. So Vedaham, so I know, aham, I know. Sam atitani. Atitani means the pasts of all beings. And I know very well, clearly. Sama means I know very well the past. Atitani. Vartamanani. This is the future tense, the present of all beings, all animals, birds, plants, fish, humans. I know the past, I know the present, Arjuna, and also I know Bhavishyani, and the future of who? Bhutani. Bhuta, as we said, means all beings, all living beings, and inanimate objects also, God knows. Just as if a building was not there, got created, and then later got destroyed. God knows the past, the present, and the future of that building also. So I know the past, present, and future of all beings. Bhutani. Maam tu but, tu maam na veda, maam no but na veda, kashchana. Kashchana means no one knows me. So Bhagavan says, I know the past, present, and future of everything and all beings. But no one knows me. Kashchana means no one knows me. So the past, present, and future is time, right? Time, like before this class started, it was before 11 o'clock. Now the class has started at 11, then it will end at 12:30. And then that will be the future, that at 12:30 we'll go for lunch. So before this universe came into existence, the universe now is in existence. Not only this universe, but 14 worlds are in existence. Before they came into existence, God was. So he knows the past when the universe was not. Now the universe is, and when the universe ends, God knows what it will be in the future. Not only this, but as we said, this is not the first universe. Many times these universes have come and gone. So God is omniscient. God is said to be omniscient, means all-knowing, knows everything. Now, how can God know everything? So the example is of speech. Now I am up speaking right now, right? But before I spoke, the thoughts I had to create in my mind. That was my conscious mind. Then there is a subconscious mind in which the thoughts exist. As subconscious, and then there is a sub-subconscious. So in our scriptures, the rishis thousands of years ago had already mentioned that four stages, para, pashyanti, madhyama, and vaikari. Vaikari is the visible speech or the audible speech. Para is the sub-subconscious, pashyanti is the subconscious, and madhyama is the conscious thoughts. So it says that even before the first stage of the thought, the sub-subconscious stage of thought emerges, the consciousness already knows. So God already knows what I'm going to say. Not only that, whatever I speak, whatever I hear, whatever I see, smell, taste, touch, whatever I think, everything is known to that consciousness, not only of you and me, but of all beings. So that's why God is said to be omniscient, all-knowing, and that's why he says, I know the past, present, and future of all beings at all times. And there is never, that's why they say, no, you can never hide anything from God. God knows everything. You know, the children's story where they had to go and everybody had to go and eat a banana where nobody was watching. And that one girl came back and said, I couldn't eat my banana because why? Because God was always watching me. You have all heard that story. So that's why God says, I know the past, present of all beings, but no one knows me. What we know of God is what has been described in the scriptures. God is Krishna with the flute or with the mukut, you know, more mukut, or his Lord Shiva sitting in meditation, or Buddha in meditation, or Jesus on the cross. So we have these images of God or these descriptions of God that are objectified. But God actually is the subject and is the knower of my body, mind, intellect, of everything. The example Gurudev gives in his commentary is like a telescope. Now I use a telescope to see the universe. I see all the planets, stars, everything, the space with a telescope. I can use the telescope to see everything. Now telescope can see the universe. But can telescope turn around and see the seer? No. Telescope cannot turn around and know me or the observer, whoever the astronomer is using the telescope. The telescope cannot know the observer. Similarly, our mind and intellect, which is inert and is illumined by the consciousness, cannot know the consciousness. But all the scriptures make an attempt to describe this consciousness as our higher nature, as me. But not me as this limited being, as Anil or Vandita or Tony, but me as the consciousness. So the consciousness within me is the knower, and it's the one that knows the body, mind, and intellect, and knows everything. So how can I know God? By quietening your mind, turning your attention away from the world, sitting in silence, and then going inward and knowing that the consciousness is in me, that is illumining my life, that is who I am, that is my true nature, that is my higher nature. And this knowledge that is given to us in the Bhagavad Gita, in the scriptures, is eternal. So 5,000 years ago, or more than 5,000 years ago, Bhagavan gave this knowledge to Arjuna, which was valid to him in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But we are studying it today. Why are we studying it? Because it is valid to us. It is very pertinent to us. While science changes, like we used to believe that the earth is flat, now we say earth is round. Then even Einstein's theory of relativity, modern scientists have proved so many errors in it. Things have changed. Years back, we never thought about flying. Now we can fly, go into space. And now we are discovering new and new worlds, new and new black holes and galaxies. There are trillions of galaxies. They say there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the beach. That many stars. And our telescopes keep finding. So the science keeps on changing. Things that we believed in the past we know are no longer true. A lot of diseases, we did not know how to cure them. Now we know. But this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has not changed in 5,000 years and is as relevant today as it was then. Not only that, but say 5,000 years from now, our children's, you know, great-grandchildren, maybe they have 5,000 years from now, many after they may have flown to some distant galaxy and maybe sitting underwater in a restaurant and being served by some alien waitresses, you know, who look very different from you and me. But even 5,000 years from now, that person will still be studying Bhagavad Gita because he'll say, wow, this is so relevant. How did Bhagavan know what is going to happen? So that is the glory of this knowledge, that it always remains relevant and it teaches me about myself, who I am, what is this world, and how can I deal with this world in the best, because Arjuna was confused, did not know his duty. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan is telling us what is our duty, and that is covered very well in the third chapter. So now that you have time, read the first six chapters when we are not working and we are locked down. This is a good opportunity to read the first six chapters. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call me or text me or email, and I'll try my best to answer. So we all need to study. Now this reminds me of another story. There was this disciple who approached Swami Vivekananda, and he says, "Swamiji, I have been studying for so long, but I can't get to know God. I need to know God. Can you teach me who is God? Can you show me God? I've read all the books and nothing has helped." So Swami Vivekananda says, doesn't answer anything. It was nighttime. He said, "Let's go to sleep. We'll talk in the morning." So they go to sleep. In the morning, they get up and they go to take a bath in the river. Those days, they didn't have running water. So they go to the river to take a bath. And that other student dips his head in the water. And Swamiji, of course, had done a lot of yoga. He was very strong. So when he dips his head, he pushes his head under the water, holds his neck so hard that he can't get out. And he says, "What's wrong?" And he's trying to breathe. He's trying to get his head out. He's struggling, and he feels that he's going to die because he can't breathe. And just when he's finally thinking, "Oh, I'm not going to survive," Vivekananda Swamiji releases him and he brings his head out, and he is so angry. He says, "What? I thought you were a Swami, a monk. You killed me here. You tried to kill me. What's wrong with you? Why did you do that? I couldn't breathe." Swamiji doesn't say anything. He's very calm. And after this person has done yelling for 5 minutes at him, you know, how bad he is and all, he says, "Okay, tell me one thing. When you were under the water, were you thinking about your wife and children? No. Were you thinking about your money, your bank balance, your stocks? No. Were you thinking about your work, your profession, your business? No. Were you thinking about your car, your house? No. What were you thinking of?" "All I was thinking was I wanted to breathe. That's all I was thinking of." Swami Vivekananda says, "Yes, all you wanted was to breathe. And at that time, you were not thinking of anything else. So if you want to know God, you have to have that same kind of desire. That at this moment, all I want to do is know God. And at that time, nothing is important. Not my house, not my property, not my spouse, not my family, not my bank balance, not my stock market. But that alone, when that kind of desire arises, that's called mumukshutvam. Prabal mumukshutvam, you know, strong desire to know, then God reveals himself." And the same thing in the world. If I want to be successful as a doctor, I have to make that my number one focus. If I want to get into medical school, if I want to be a good doctor, I'm thinking of medicine, medicine, medicine alone when I'm in medical school, or engineering or law or computers. Just as we put that much focus in our profession, that much focus we have to put in our spiritual pursuit. Only then God says, "I will reveal myself." That's why he says, "Mam tu vedana kaschana," because there are very few people like Swami Vivekananda who make that his goal to know, or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, or, you know, Shankaracharya ji and Buddha and all, Jesus. These are people who made it their life goal to know God and reach God. So that's why he says, "Mam tu vedana kaschana." I know everybody, but no one knows me. Now one may ask, why is that people don't want to know you? What is the reason? Can you give us a reason? Why is it that even though that the scriptures tell us that is the most important thing to be known, and that is the one that will give you joy,